Are you waiting to lose weight before you're happy? Are you waiting for the right expression of love, the right expression of appreciation, or the right expression of respect from your children for you to be happy in this life? What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for your husband to declare on Facebook that you're the best mom in all the world or the most wonderful woman to be married to? What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for your health to get better before you decide you're going to be happy? What are you waiting for before you decide you're going to be happy? Are you waiting to be more beautiful? I have news for you. I don't mean to be a pessimist, but do you realize that you're the youngest today that you will ever be for the rest of your life? Do you realize that? Those pictures that you did not want to take 10 years ago because you were self-conscious suddenly look way better than you could ever have imagined today, don't they? What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for yourself to get more beautiful, younger? My mom is one of the most funny people I know. If you know my mom, she's one of the most fun people to be around. I can get on the phone with her and we have the most hilarious conversations while I'm driving. She makes me laugh. She's hilarious. But I've seen my mom struggle through the years so much. You see, when she was a toddler, she had meningitis. She should not have survived. She's had so many health issues from that, and I've seen her struggle through the years. She had brain surgery when I was a kid. I mean, serious brain surgery to cut a nerve in the side of her head because her headaches were so bad. But she loves to laugh way more than she loves anything else. That's probably why she married my dad. He makes her laugh. She just sits and watches him run around. Well, one day I got a text from Mom, and I was actually at one of my locations where I was taking care of some people. I'm a chaplain for corporate offices. And I was walking through, and I saw a text from my mom, and it said, "The doctors say that I need to have some hearing aids." So I texted her back, "What?" "The doctor said I need hearing aids." "What?" "The doctor," you can just see her. "The doctor said I need hearing aids." Three times, no doubt. And then she goes, "Oh, you." That's Mom. So did you know that the decision to be happy where you are today opens up your life to allow for these things to be a reality in your life? The decision to be happy, the decision that you're not going to wait for anything else or anyone else or something else to happen, but that you can find what really makes you happy today, that decision can open up healing in so many areas of your life. But as long as your problem is all you're focusing on, as long as what other people are doing or aren't doing is what you're focused on, you're going to miss God's peace in your life. And it's possible that you'll miss His healing. I was talking to a lady the other day that she's going through chemotherapy for breast cancer. A year ago, she was so stressed out. We were sitting there at her job, and she was so stressed out. She was struggling. And she gave me permission to share this story with you. But she was very stressed over her job. She was stressed over her personal experiences in life. She was hurting. She was so unhappy. She was angry. She was frustrated. You can imagine the kind of situation I'm talking about. And here she is today. She's going through chemotherapy. She's got cancer. And she's a beautiful woman. She fixes herself up. She's very successful at what she does. And here she is. She's bald. She's wearing a scarf every day of her life now. And there she is, smiling and telling jokes, and she's sharing her real life experiences with a joy that I hadn't seen. And I stopped at one point and I said, listen to yourself. Do you see this? You are so happy today compared to who you were a year ago. Have you realized that? And she stopped and she kind of turned her head, and you could see she was thinking about it. And she said, "You know, I was raised that being happy was wrong. They never said it, but that was the impression that I always got. I always felt guilty if I got happy when I was a child. And I guess, she said, it's taken an extreme situation like this, like that maybe God has done this in my life so that I can finally get to a place where I'm happy. And I said, yeah, it seems kind of like he's answered your prayers that we were praying a year ago, doesn't it? Yeah. Let me ask you a question. What will it take for you to decide to be happy? It's a choice. It's a decision. For you to realize you're enough. You already have enough. And you will always have enough. Happiness comes when you shift your thinking. You have to shift your thinking. Jesus taught a long sermon one day on the mountainside. It was called the Sermon on the Mount. And he began with some very short phrases that many of you are acquainted with. Most of the time, in most of our translations that we read, you're going to read the words, blessed are you, or blessed are those. But that word blessed could also have been translated into our language to be the word happy. And Jesus said this, blessed or happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed, happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Another way of saying this is this. Happy are those who realize they don't have to worry about life anymore. Happy are those who realize they don't have to worry about life anymore. And he says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you really believe in heaven, when you really believe in what God has provided for you, suddenly a happiness and a joy can fill your heart in a way that it hasn't before. When you realize you've got zero to lose, there's peace and there's joy. But for those who believe this life is all there is, they're holding on to it. We're struggling to get everything we can. We're struggling to keep from losing what we've got. For those who are still trying to control everything, they're filled with stress, they're filled with anxiety, they're filled with disappointment, and they're filled with anger. And listen, I've been at the bedside of dying people, and I've seen people that are just going to be dead in a few hours or within the next day, and they're still trying to control the people around them. They're still trying to get their kids to wake up. They're still trying to get things fixed. They're still dealing with the gossip that they heard yesterday, and they want people to be together in better relationships. And these people are going to be dying within a few hours. Still trying to control. No peace, no hope, no strength. I don't know about you, but when I'm about to die, I want to be thinking about those gates. I want to think about seeing him face to face. Well, let me ask you this. Why can't we go there today as far as our minds go and think about it and have that same peace and understand we have nothing to lose? We're all going to die. Isn't that exciting to hear on Mother's Day? We have nothing to lose. You might as well decide now to be happy, to enjoy your life. At some point, mothers, you got to let go. At some point, you got to stop trying to control. At some point, you need to decide to be happy. When you realize you get to go to heaven one day, everything changes. Have you realized it? Have you accepted that? All right, now I'm going to start getting your attention. You won't have children to worry about. Isn't that exciting? You won't have retirement to worry about. You won't have to worry about getting old. You won't have to worry about your weight. You won't have to worry about that needy husband. You won't have to worry about hot flashes. You won't have to You won't have to worry about sore feet. You won't have to worry about the cake that you can't eat anymore. You won't have to worry about your bills. You won't have to worry about a house to clean. You won't have to worry about meals to cook. You won't have to worry about the kids that have grown up to be morons. You won't have to worry about any of this stuff. Heaven is going to be like the best cruise ship in the galaxy. You won't have to cook. You won't have to even clean. I think. I'm not sure. I don't know that when we get up from the table in heaven, everything just dissipates. I don't know if that's how it works, but I do know it's going to be good. It's going to be good food, and it's going to be a wonderful place, and you won't have to worry about any of it. And the truth of the matter is, you can take your mind there now. You can begin to believe in that so much now that you can choose to be happy now. You can choose to enjoy your life now, right here where you are, because you've got that on the other side. Isn't that exciting? Happy are those who realize this life is going to be over one day. That's what Jesus was saying. The poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I remember the first time I was flying overseas on a missions trip. I got on a Lufthansa flight and was heading off to Zurich, Switzerland. And all the way there, I couldn't sleep. I was a nervous wreck. We were over the ocean. I'm like, my. I was missing my kids. I was missing my wife. Why am I doing this? What did I sign up for 2 weeks? This is gonna be horrible. I was so stressed. I just was sure that I would never get home to see my wife and kids again. And it was a difficult situation on the way there. But on the way back, I was so exhausted. I was so tired. When I got on that airplane headed for Chicago, it was going to be a 12-hour flight. When I got on that plane, I just sat down and I said, if I die, I die. I don't care. And I leaned my head up against the window and I went to sleep. I was able to talk to the people around me and enjoy the flight and eat without any problems, watch the movie. It was great. Relaxed. I didn't care if I lived or died at that moment. And what's interesting, though, is when we got to Chicago, it was really snowing badly. And we taxied out to take off to head for Dallas. And as we taxied out to the runway, we had to sit there for a few minutes, and a few minutes too long, because what happened was the wings iced up. So we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, we taxi back. I'm like, what's going on? So then we find out, you know, the captain tells us what happened, and I'm like, well, great, that's really reassuring. So we see them de-icing the wings, and a few minutes later, we start taxiing back out. And I'm like, Lord, are we going to be okay? We pull out to the runway, and all of a sudden, the cockpit opens up, and out comes the pilot. He comes running down the middle aisle, and he squeezes over where he can see out the window, and he looks out the window, and then all of a sudden, he takes off running back to the cockpit, and he must have jumped in the chair, because all of a sudden, he hit the throttle on that, and we were headed out. I was like, God, please. He was looking to see if we'd iced up. And all of a sudden, I cared whether I lived or died. The reality is, in looking back, I was getting closer to my family. I was getting closer to my wife. I was getting closer to my kids. And I realized, I want to see them again. I can't wait to hold them again. And I was so stressed all the way from Chicago to here. So stressed. Because I thought, surely I'm not going to make it. The truth is, my life wasn't in my hands. As much as I thought about it, as much as I fretted over it, my life was not in my hands. My life was in that pilot's hands. And my life was in God's hands ultimately. And it didn't matter whether I worried about it or didn't worry about it, I was going to land. And that's our lives. In the same way, when we begin focusing on our lives too much, we get too stressed to enjoy the ride. Happiness is a choice. Happiness is a choice. If you're focusing and thinking about your financial future too much, what happens? Your happiness is gone. If your focus is too much on losing weight or any of the other things that we talked about already with your children and husband and all of that, you're not going to be happy in your life. Happiness is a choice. The truth is, the anxiety and the anger, it's what keeps you from getting to where you want to be. When you focus your life on what God has promised you, what happens? It opens up. Knowing that He is taking care of everything in your life begins to open up. You sense peace, you have hope, you have strength, there's renewed joy, and there's a reason and a sense that I'm here for a purpose. And all of the pain and struggle, whatever it is that you're going through, it's not to minimize that, it's to say, hey, that's nothing in comparison with what God has planned for me. Our men's breakfast group, we've been working through Hebrews chapter 11 on Wednesday mornings for a few weeks now, and that's the Great Hall of Faith chapter, and it's beautiful because along with those men, great men of faith that are listed in that chapter, there are also two moms that are listed. There's Sarah and Rahab. And Sarah, let's talk about them for a few minutes. Sarah was a woman that wanted to have children, but she was too old to have children. She had been promised by God that she would be the mother of this great nation, but it wasn't coming to pass. Eventually, it did come to pass. God did bring it to pass. The second half, though, of Sarah's life was spent on following her husband around for the next 60, 65 years of her life because of her husband's faith. Abraham was called by God to leave their home and to leave their hometown, to leave their family, their nephews, their nieces, their mom and dad and sisters and brothers, and to leave that and to go out and basically wander for many years. Sarah was 65 years old when they left their hometown. 65 years old. She left all of her family and friends and everybody that she'd always known, and she went out there wandering because of her husband's faith. And for what? God had promised a child. And for 25 years, they wandered without. Imagine what that woman went through in her mind and how much she had to decide to be happy throughout the process of that. You see, God was taking them to a land that they didn't even know of, where he would multiply their offspring. She had to keep believing that that land was there. She had to keep believing that that child was there. And at the age of 90 years old, she gave birth to a baby. And it was the first baby with a promise of being the father of the Messiah that was to come many years later, Isaac. Now, fast forward from Sarah, about 470 years later, there was a woman named Rahab that was also included in the Great Hall of Faith chapter in Hebrews. And Rahab lived in a place called Jericho. Rahab was a harlot. Let's just say it this way. She had a bad reputation. And she was that family member that nobody wanted to really get around. You understand? She was that family member that everyone in the family was ashamed of. Her siblings were having trouble trying to communicate with the kids what she did for a living. You understand what I'm saying? It was a difficult situation. But this wasn't the life that Rahab wanted. This isn't what she wanted. This isn't what she wanted to be. This isn't what she wanted to do. She was an unmarried woman, and with that, she had a lot of security, it seems. She had a home. She seemed to have a lot of money. She had a better life, though, that she dreamed of. Instead of just being stuck in this life, she didn't want to be this. She didn't want to do this, but she had a dream of a better life. She had a dream of a better home, a different life. She had learned about a nation of people that were wandering around following the living God. She had heard stories about this. And she wanted to be a part of that, but she had no idea how that could ever be possible. Not only was she a citizen of Jericho, which the Israelites were about to attack, but she was also not a very good citizen of Jericho. You can imagine, all the women in Jericho hated her. It was a small town. They hated her. None of the men in Jericho respected her. She dreamed of a different place with different people and a different life. She dreamed of that. And she heard about this group of people that were following the living God. And he was fighting wars for them, and he was going to take care of them. He was leading them, a people with purpose, a people with a reason to live. And she wanted that. Well, one day, two spies from Israel came into town. And somehow they ended up at her house. Her house was also a hotel. And she hid those spies up on her roof. The guards came and she lied to them and told them, no, they're not here, don't know where they are. And she protected them, the Israelites. Why? Because she dreamed of a better home. She dreamed of God being in her life. After the guards were gone, Rahab went back up to the roof and the spies were still awake, it says. So she told them, you can imagine, they were probably tired and about ready to go to sleep. And she said this, I know that the Lord has given Israel this land. She told them, she went on, and she told them that she had heard about how God, their God, rules heaven and earth, and how he brought them across the Red Sea, and how he had led them through a war. You see, she wanted their God to be her God. She wanted to be happy in her life. She wanted a different life than she had had. Her home was built on top of the city wall, and the spies told her that if she wanted to come with them after the war was over, that she needed to tie a red rope in the window of her home. And anyone inside her home, when they attacked the city, would be saved, would be protected, and would become one of them. You see, she had a choice. She could pull the rope down and say, no, I'm going to decide. I'm just going to die. I'm not going to have any hope to be a part of that community. I'm just going to die with the people that I've lived with all these years. She could have listened to the taunting inside of her head about her past and said, you know what? I don't deserve it. I don't deserve a better life with God and his people. I don't deserve that. And she could have just pulled the rope down and died with the rest of the people. But you see, the Israelites, you know the story, they marched around the city for 6 days as God had commanded them. But on the seventh day, when the trumpets blew and the people shouted, the Israelites shouted, the walls came crumbling down. Every portion of that wall except for where Rahab's house was, because she had left the red rope hanging in the window. That day they took her out of that city, and anybody that was in her home, they took her out of that city and they gave her a new life. But you see, it was better than that. It wasn't just that day. It wasn't just that moment. It wasn't just that situation. It was way bigger than that. She got a completely different life. She got married and she had a baby. She gave birth to a baby. They called him Obed, and Obed had a son named Jesse, and then Jesse had a son named David. King David. She was the great-great-grandmother of King David, which means what? Many years later, Jesus was born in the lineage of Rahab the harlot. And here we are, thousands of years later, talking about this woman. Why? Because she dreamed. She decided to be happy. The author of Hebrews goes on to talk about these people of faith, and he tells us the secret to their ability to endure hardship and how they were able to endure hardship for so long. Let me read it to you. He says, these people of faith all died having faith in God. That sounds contradictory. Well, if you got faith, you'll be healed. These people of faith died. We don't have faith to live. We have faith to die. Why? Because we get to live for eternity. They did not receive what God had promised to them. It took a long time. They went through a lot of situations and they died not receiving what God had promised to them. But they could see far ahead to all the things God promised, and they were glad for them. What is he saying? They kept their focus on what God had promised them. They kept their focus on what God said would happen. And that's where they found their happiness. That's where they found their peace. That's where they found their sanity for daily life. They knew they were strangers here. Look at that. This earth was not their home. People who say these things show that they're looking for a country of their own. They were looking for another place, a place that God was God. People who say these things show that they're looking for a country of their own. But man, when we're so focused on our problem and our situation and our pain, we forget about that country that God has prepared for us. And he says, they did not think about the country they had come from. If they had, they might have gone back, but they wanted a better country. And so God is not ashamed to be called their God. He has made a city for them. What a beautiful thing. That's how the people of faith made it to the end of their life, being people of faith, trusting and hoping and believing in that life to come. Some of you need to do what these people have done. You need to forget about the country you came from. You need to forget about what happened to you when you were growing up. You need to forget about the decisions that were made that affected you, that hurt you, that other people did. You need to also forget about the things that you did in the country that you came from. You need to forget about it. You need to forget about that old country and accept where God is taking you in your future. Look at what it says. They did not think about it. They didn't think about where they came from. Otherwise, they might have gone back. And some of you have been there. It's time to leave that old country and let it go and start focusing on where you need to be and where you need to go. It says this. They wanted a better country. How many of you know that heaven and what God has prepared for us is going to be way better than this? Amen. Come on, do you believe it?
Yes.
Absolutely. It's time for you to begin believing. Believing so much in what God has for you that the pain and struggle that you face today pales in comparison to it. And be happy. Be happy. It's time for you to find your hope in God. What does it say? This earth was not their home. It's not your home. The disease is not your end. The illness, it's not all that's there for you. The brokenness is not your final story. The disappointments, it's not your destiny. Your history is not your story. Sarah had to wait 25 years. James David, would you come? Sarah had to wait 25 years to even begin seeing a glimmer of hope that God was going to bring something to pass. 25 years. My wife moved here in 2005. Following her husband. We've been here 15 years. We've had people say, God's not in this. And here today, isn't this beautiful? She could have given up. She's a woman of faith. Woman who hopes and believes. Sarah waited 25 years. She was 90 years old. She was a happy mother. Rahab didn't deserve it. She didn't look the part. She certainly wasn't a good and virtuous woman. And I say to you, if she could put her hope in God, that He has better things in store for her, to the point that she's willing to risk her life as she did, then so can you. These were happy women because of their hope in God. Did they face struggles? Absolutely. That's the point. When Sarah was 90 years old, she overheard God telling her husband Abraham, this year, she's going to have the baby. What did she do? Well, it's about time, God. What's wrong with you? Is that what she did? What'd she do? She laughed. She laughed. She absolutely laughed. Happy in the waiting. Happiness doesn't come from the right man. Haven't you found that? I don't know that Colette could have found a more right man in all the world. But he is not where her happiness is. Aren't you glad to know that, Kenny? The right children is not what's going to make you happy. It's not. The right amount of money is not what's going to make you happy. The right health. Oh, when I get feeling better. Don't mean to be a pessimist, but we're getting older. And we're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. A city that cannot be shaken. A city that the foundations are so sure and secure that you will be able to live there for eternity. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful place. Are you looking for that city? Because you see, true happiness, yeah, it can come through a great hair day. I understand that. But not true happiness. True happiness comes from the right God. Do you have Him? Can you say He's the Lord of your life? Would you bow your heads? Father, I pray this morning, I really sense that you have that peace that surpasses understanding, that you want to just drop it like a blanket on the ladies in this room's hearts. So much so that it bleeds over to the men that are here. Peace. You have promised us security, life everlasting, healing. You promised us that you'd wipe every tear from our eyes. You promised us that every pain that we have on this earth pales in comparison to what you have in store for us. Our light and momentary troubles are nothing compared to what you have in store for us for eternity. And today we embrace that. Today we engage in believing in that so much that, God, we have happiness, peace, and joy to fill our hearts. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your hope. And for these mothers today, let the peace of God that transcends all understanding just begin to guard their heart and their mind. You're our God. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Maybe there's somebody here today and you've reached out to God, inviting Him into your life. Do that right now in a new way, fresh way. Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. Wash me, cleanse me. Thank you for your forgiveness. I want to engage in a relationship with you. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for coming into my life and inviting me into the kingdom. I want to be yours. I want to belong to you. Thank you for peace today. I make you my God. I want to worship you and serve you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.